der zentralen Position. Los, Franz, an der Vorsicht. Dann ist es gleich noch. Das ist Strafraum.
Hi and welcome to the German Fußball Podcast, another Bundesliga weekend, another episode for Dad and I to go through and discuss. Dad, you are in Munich. Disclose with the audience first why you are there.
Well, I just want to make it realistically when you do a German football podcast and I go to Germany, so I get a vibe here. Now, I do in European weeks, I'm sitting in a discussion round on a table with some different German football pundits or journalists. And we are from 8:30 till 11 o'clock, we are following the Champions League round. We don't have the rights. This is Sky Germany. But we are following the games. And then we're discussing different topics. And tonight, the main topics will, of course, be Dortmund, who is away at Chelsea. It's a quite interesting game, Marcus, because you remember Chelsea did one of their best game in a terrible period for the club. They were quite good in Dortmund, and they were unlucky to lose that game. But as we do know, Dortmund can't lose. That is not possible to lose football games in 2023. So I've been, when I arrive in Germany, as I did a couple of 3 hours ago, I buy all Kicker, I buy Bild-Zeitung, Sportbild. So I've been using my time now to update me. Yes, it's we have everything on the net. But it's sometimes it's good to go through the papers, going through the paper. The only papers I have left are the ones I buy in Germany and in England. So what have you done since last time we spoke?
I've been to Wolves Spurs. I was there, but admittedly, I was on my phone the entire time following the Arsenal game, and following that on those updates and on radio is probably the most torturous thing you can do as a fan. And then I was fortunate enough to go into Arsenal yesterday to conduct a couple of interviews with some of my favorite players growing up in Fabregas and Wilshere. So, yeah, then I got my Arsenal exposure. But yeah, Chelsea, Dortmund is going to be played down the road from me here. Closest stadium to me being Craven Cottage and then Stamford Bridge. We won't delve too much into the Champions League because when this comes out, this is before the games are being played, but we can still discuss Dortmund, Dad, because on Friday, Dortmund against Leipzig kicked it off in the Bundesliga. And what a game we had on our hands. Dortmund firing on all cylinders, starting the game under pressure in the second half, whether willingly or unwillingly. People have been saying that Dortmund, there was a consciousness about them dropping a bit deeper, letting Leipzig bring the game to them. But I must say that the first half, I was very impressed by Dortmund. Aggressive in regaining the ball. On the counter, they were lethal. Marius Wolf, suddenly this ball-playing right back who had a fantastic outside of the pass to Marco Reus ahead of the penalty. And then Dortmund showing their grit because despite being under pressure, they've defended well. And without their starting goalkeeper, and in comes their second goalkeeper, there were things going against them in a sense, but they were able to hold off. And then Schlotterbeck saves it with his shoulder off the line. And there was something very symbiotic about Dortmund getting through that period and getting their win in what is a vital win in the title race.
Yeah, and you should not underestimating the will and the ability to win football games. And like I said, starting when people listen to this, the Dortmund could have maybe lost at Stamford Bridge, but still an unbelievable run in the Bundesliga. And I think that Bayern will look at them and think, although they did their job in Stuttgart, they did what they had to do. There were some nervy moment there as well. I just put that into my story because De Ligt saved on the line and then suddenly out of nothing, De Ligt scored the other way and Choupo-Moting getting the winner. So the 2-1 win was the 2-1 goal came just at the end. But Dortmund, I think it's symbolic how that game was. The goal scorers were Marco Reus, as you said, who is kind of getting back to his best. And then you have got Emre Can in midfield, been a lot of criticism around him. I remember when I did all the games of Dortmund because of Erling Haaland. Then Can was him. I've always been friendly with him. He's always politely doing interviews. And I remember I had to ask him about his position at the club, and he kind of, he was not biting, but he didn't like that. And to be fair to him, he has managed to come back, and he is a number six now in the team. Very hard worker in midfield. Sometimes the timing of his tackles are not world class, but that seems to disappear in 2023 as well. So he's very vital for them, and this flow of winning football games that builds your confidence. And then I think that also you see then players like Wolf, they, when you are in a well-functioning system, a well-functioning team, then you increase your own confidence. You increase your confidence of try to do things. And I guess nothing is more than a back going forward, coming of overlaps or doing his crosses and so on and so on. So Dortmund will be a main challenger. This is quite new for us. We're already, as we are speaking, it's the 7th of March, and Bayern Munich haven't celebrated the Bundesliga again. I still think, though, that is for Bayern to lose, not for Dortmund to win, because I think that Bayern still got it under control. But you never know. Bayern, as we are tomorrow, I guess we will have this out before the game, but they are playing PSG at home. That is a vital game for them. And both, as we speak, both Dortmund and Bayern are all involved in the cup, in the Champions League, and in the title fight for the Bundesliga crown.
And up next for Dortmund is Schalke. And in Schalke, the two teams meet. They're the only ones that are unbeaten following the winter break. And we discussed Schalke last episode, Dad, in terms of them regaining form. Like I said, they're unbeaten. They had four draws in a row, four nil-nils. Then they won, now two on the spin, in a vital win against Bochum. And let's put this into context first. This is Schalke's first away win since November 2019. Schalke have been terrible away. Schalke have been terrible, period, for a longer spell. And there was this hope that going down to the Zweite Bundesliga and coming back up, there was that rejuvenation, which it hasn't been. Now, however, and we discussed that last episode in the form of Thomas Reis, the impact he's had, but now they go on to win that. What I wanted to touch upon is, despite us talking about that, despite us hyping up Schalke, we need to put into context what Schalke is too, because even though they would stay up, this is by no means what the fans and German football would expect of such an historic club that Schalke is.
Yeah, first of all, it's a great win in Bochum. I mean, these are the decisive games when you are fighting against the relegation, because not only do you win, but you avoid that people around you winning, like, or teams around you do win, as like Forest Everton. I mean, so important for Forest to avoid that Everton get three points, if you know what I mean. And it was also a moment or something special, because it was Reis, who is now the coach of Schalke. He came back to Bochum where he was fired. He celebrated. Rose didn't manage to do that, coming back with his Leipzig to Dortmund. But to put Schalke into perspective is that back in the days, I know I'm talking about the 1930s, I didn't live that time, although I'm much older than you, Marcus, but Schalke was one of the biggest clubs, or are one of the biggest clubs in Germany. They were winning for fun. They were the club of the people. A historical thing for me is always that in 1941, Germany and Austria, because of some idiot of a dictator, had these two countries together. So the final in 1941, there was a final system. It was between Schalke and Rapid Vienna. They are both two clubs that is based on their working background. And Rapid Vienna won 3-2. So there is a great quiz with Rapid Vienna winning the German league, because it's important to understand that the Bundesliga started in the 60s. So Schalke, as a big club, and that has been more like a joke in Germany. They're so a big club, they've never won the Bundesliga. They won the German title many times, but they've never won the Bundesliga. But they were very close in 2001. And that is worthy to try to explain it. So it's 2001. There is one game left of the season. Bayern has a 3 points lead, and they're playing Hamburger Sportverein away from home. Schalke is playing Unterhaching, so everybody understand that Schalke will win that game, which they do. And as the result is standing, Hamburger Sportverein is 1-0 up against Bayern Munich. In Schalke, the game is off. For some reason, they're off like 3-4 minutes before the game against Hamburger Sportverein. So there are two stories going on here. First of all, there is a journalist. I know his name. I won't reveal him. He says it's over. It's over in Hamburg. Hamburg have won 1-0. Congratulations, Schalke 04. Ihr seid Meister. You have won the league. And as it is at a football stadium, this go like fire and grass. Everybody celebrates. Laola, they throw themselves around each other. Rudi Assauer, the head of sport, the coach, the players, they won the German Bundesliga. But then the journalist had heard wrong. And it's nearly, as a Schalke fan, I start crying when I tell you this story. Because what happening in Hamburg is that a Hamburg player play the ball back to the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper, who is on loan from Schalke, that is another story, on loan from Schalke, take the ball up. He catch the ball. That is not allowed. So Bayern will get a free kick. It's overtime of overtime. The game is more or less over. Schalke think they are champions, making it Laola in the stadium. Hamburger Sportverein taking all their players back, and the free kick is around 6-7 meters, a bit out on the left, seeing it from the 18-yard box that way. So, and I spoke to Stefan Effenberg, the legendary Bayern captain, and you see the scene of it. He's standing there like a leader. He's holding the ball. Oliver Kahn, the craziest goalkeepers of all time, come running all over the place. And now I'm in what Stefan Effenberg told me. And he says, I want to shoot. So this will be the last kick of the season. And Stefan Effenberg, like the leader he is, he looks around and he points at the Swede, Patrick Andersson. Patrick Andersson, well, he was not a goal scorer, but he knew that he had a very hard shot. So in sight looper, in slow motion, they roll the ball to Patrick Andersson, and the ball goes for some funny anti-Schalke kind of Bayern gene kind of situation through all the 11 players of Hamburger Sportverein. It's 1-1. Bayern get their point. Bayern win the Bundesliga title. And can you imagine a Schalke have been doing beer showers, they have been Laola, going back, going into the dressing room, the fans going home from Schalke, and again, they didn't win the championship, the Bundesliga. Typical enough, it ended up in Munich again.
That hurts me. I'm not even a Schalke fan. That hurts, especially when you've had the celebration. But thank you for that anecdote. I think it is an absurd story and end and conclusion to a Bundesliga season. Believe it or not.
Yeah, I would just say the aftermath of that is that I worked for Sky Germany for 3 years, and we had something from 2011 to 2014. I was sitting first with Stefan Freund and Markus Merk. Later, Stefan Freund went out and Lothar Matthäus came in, but Markus Merk was even there. Okay. Take it back. He was the referee in that game. 100% correct decision based on the rule because of the back pass. But first game, we went to Schalke. We had our table. We had a table, as you see, with Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher. They are on the pitch. We did the same. And let's put it this way. The Schalke fans, they hadn't forgotten Markus Merk. We were sitting there. They were throwing beers. They were throwing glass. And when there was the billiard is what yeah it's
yeah snooker like
snooker the snooker number eight the black number eight was this close to hit my head, and we had to have protection and everything. So from then on, when we went to Schalke, we were sitting in their museum doing a topspiel because of the security reasons we were not allowed down. And I guess that would sum up Schalke, that we ended up in the museum. Yes, they have won the UEFA Cup. They're talking about the heroes or the UEFA when they won that. But the Bundesliga, never been there. And I think it's good that we put that in perspective, because sometimes we, both in England, when we're talking of Nottingham Forest or Everton back in the 80s with Howard Kendall, we tend to forget that some of these clubs were great, great clubs in the time. And in Germany, that will be Schalke. That will be Gladbach in the 70s. And it will be also be Hamburger Sportverein, HSV, who is now working very hard to get up from the Zweite Liga. But back in the days, they won the Champions League, the European Cup, with Felix Magath getting the winner, coach Ernst Happel, great, great football team. So I think that we sometimes should remind us of that. The history, the football history, is always fascinating.
Yeah, this is a team that from 2001, 2002 to 2018, 2019 missed out on Europe once. Champions League semi-final in 2011. And now embroiled in one of the most dramatic, but not the most dramatic, because that's what you were involved in, one of the more dramatic relegation battles, because we have four teams on 19 points. We have a Hoffenheim that are struggling, that we were talking about fighting for Champions League spots in the beginning of the season. Now, cannot win a game. Struggling. Stuttgart, plaudits but no points. Good against Bayern. However, a loss. And then on, and then you have Bochum, who are last, following their goal difference. Let's look up to just mention briefly Eintracht or Wolfsburg against Eintracht, Glasner against his former team, Kovac against his former team, Kolomoani. Header, one of two he scored this season. Now, the player with most goal involvements in the Bundesliga. It was a pretty significant game, Dad, because Wolfsburg are behind Eintracht, and Eintracht, who were looking a bit up, maybe have to look behind themselves a bit in terms of securing, at the very least, that sixth spot.
Yeah, I think that it wasn't, but still an important point, very important point for Eintracht, because Wolfsburg didn't get three. It's the same in like in the relegation zone. If people have the time or the interest, they should check up Endika's goal. He had a fantastic goal, one of the best of the round. I didn't mention that I was on ski holiday this week, and I had a weekend off that I don't normally have. But I was still watching a lot of games, a lot of highlights. I went in to see all the highlights, and on of all goals, Endika's goal was great. But I think that what has cost Frankfurt is the personal mistake, the thing that I've scored. They went 1-0 behind. I liked Kevin Trapp. He's maybe the successor to Manuel Neuer in the German national team, but he came out a bit too early. I'm not saying it was a mistake, but it was a tactical, strategic mistake to come out that very early. But that was a good win winning point, although they were 2-1 up. And also in that region, Leverkusen winning very convincingly over Hertha, and Freiburg getting a point in Gladbach. So it's tightened up. I mean, based on what we know now, Bayern Dortmund, Leipzig, they will be there. There will Freiburg, Leipzig, Leverkusen, and who have I forgot to be up there? And Union Berlin, of course. Union Berlin that after they were knocked out Ajax, were losing then in Bayern, and but still they are on a high, so they could end up getting to the Champions League. But still, a 0-0 at home against Cologne is not the best result. I mean, in every year, based on the history, you would say Union get a point at home in Köln. Now, of course, we are higher expectation, and if they're going to be up there for the Champions League, that will feel as two lost points.
Yeah, and Leverkusen, after a dreadful start, can actually hope for European football if they continue in the same vein. I have a question for you, because Kevin Trapp, he equaled the appearance record of a certain Uli Stein for 224 Bundesliga appearances for Eintracht. Now, I don't know, you know your history, but there are two other goalkeepers that have more than Kevin Trapp for Eintracht. And one I even know for Eintracht. And one player I know because...
Yeah, I know him. That is my roommate. That's Oka Nikolov.
That's right.
Oka Nikolov is one.
229.
229. Trapp will beat him then soon.
And then he will beat another one. But this is, I'm looking, but he is born in 1941.
Okay, so he will be there. The only, yeah, okay. So he will be there at the time when 41, yeah, he's...
He was there from 65 to 77. I'm looking now.
Okay, give me his initials.
PK.
Oh yeah, I know. I know him, but I help me.
Peter Kunta.
Peter Kunta. Okay, yeah.
But 234. So Kevin Trapp will beat that record, and if my math is correct, he will actually equal that. If he plays all the rest of the games.
Yes. At least 34 games. So.
Yeah, right. So 23. So
he will beat him. But Kevin Trapp with Sebastian Rode, I can see that you have your Eintracht Frankfurt shirt there behind you. Is that the original, isn't it?
I think it is. That's the one I've been wearing with Haller.
Yeah, it's Haller. And it's great. One of the stories of the season earlier, but we talked about that before. But Eintracht will be up there. I think that we can't expect Eintracht Frankfurt to be in the Champions League all the time. I mean, that would be nice, but still, the club is developing. I think that what we see now, Kamada, the rumors are that Kamada is more or less signed for Dortmund, so he will be on a free. The contracts go up. And Dika, who scored that great goal, good timing for him as well, because it could see that he'd be on his way out. But what we do know about Eintracht Frankfurt, they've always replacements ready. Markus Krösche, I have praised him before. One of my favorites in the German Bundesliga. I have the privilege to talk to him very often. And I like, always when I'm in Frankfurt, I have a football chat with him. And I like the way Eintracht Frankfurt developing. Remember back in the days when I was there in 20 years ago, it was totally chaos. Now the way that the club has taken, also Bobic, Adi Hütter should be mentioning that. Kovac took down to another level, but no Glossner and Krösche. So I'm very optimistic of how this club develop. And now probably people will say that when they listen to this, they have been in Napoli. Some of you are listening to this after Napoli, but without Muani. And as we are speaking now, Marcus, that is one of the things that we're going to discuss tonight in the show. The internal minister of Italy has said that the Frankfurter fans are not allowed in the stadium because there was a couple of incidents in the first game. So they go very safe now. The Frankfurt fan have chartered 6 planes and they may be cancelled now. I think that is a terrible thing, terrible in sense of the passion, the expectation the Frankfurt fans have. 2,700 were supposed to go to Napoli for this game. So I just hope when people listen to this that it's been solved in a good way for the Frankfurt fans.
To end it, Dad, how about you give us one of your favorite Eintracht stories? Do you have an Eintracht story that you could share with the audience in terms of painting a picture of what it was like when you were there at all?
Well, yeah, I think that because we are talking about the relegation battle, I guess the reason I'm in Munich now is that I was colorful, fascinating, trying to talk the story about Schalke, but the fact is that I was a part of the most iconic relegation battle in the history of the German Bundesliga, and I And I say that quite open. They in Germany, they call me their Übersteiger because I scored in the last minute of the last game of the season. And we saved ourselves, we meaning Frankfurt, based on the same amount of points that Nuremberg, same goal difference, but we had scored more goals. Mm-hmm. So, which was unbelievable back in those days. And we were lost. We were like a ship without nothing. And then we won away at Werder Bremen. We won against Dortmund at home. We won Schalke away. So before the last game of the season, we're playing Kaiserslautern. Kaiserslautern and Otto Rehhagel needing a point to get into Champions League, talking about the football history and how the status of clubs changed. And at 4-1, the whole stadium quiet because on the radio, because this is back in the days where we didn't have energy, there was nothing, electricity nearly, at least there were no live tables in the stadium. And it was quite silent in the whole stadium. And 60,000 people can be quiet. And then there was this guy on our bench who kind of used his pen and paper, and he was doing the table. And then he just found out, of all teams, nobody have counted Nuremberg in this quotation. He said that if we score another goals, we go past them. And I said cheeky after the game, then I scored one. I came one against Reinke, the goalkeeper. I made a trick when I was a kid. I used that. The German call that the Übersteiger. In Norway, they call it the Fjørtoft trick, which is quite good because I scored the same in 93 when you qualified for the World Cup. So we won 5-1, and 2-3 minutes extra time, they got into the game, the referee. And then we were finished, and 60,000 onto the stadium, people throwing themselves around. I was totally knackered because it was over 30 degrees. The sun, this was Saturday afternoon. I have no clue how we have saved our place, because why did we have to win 5-1? We thought that was enough to win the football game. And so we were up there. And one of the highlights coming home to you guys, you were a kid. This is the 1999, so you're 5 years of age. And from my car to the apartment, the neighbors had put all the scarves, all the shirts of Eintracht Frankfurt. And the funny part, I will stop the story now. But the funny part of the story is that when I get into you guys in the living room, they are showing the highlights of the Bundesliga round. They're showing my 5-1 goal. And then they show Nuremberg, who went down. This was Andreas Köpke, one of the best goalkeepers of all time in Germany, last game of of his career. And they played Freiburg, long shot, keeper saves. The ball is 3 meters. It's not possible to miss. They say your grandmother would have missed, but this is the chance where your grandmother would have stayed and she wouldn't have missed. And here we come, Frank Baumann. All he has to do, the goalkeeper has saved it in the other corner. So all he has to do is just to get it over the line. But he managed to hit the ball, you know, when you hit the ball on the top, so he can't get a proper shot, touch. So the ball is jumping like this on the way to the line. The goalkeeper managed to stand up, go left again and save the ball. And then I had to sit down because I thought I nearly fainted. That was the first time I was nervous the whole Saturday. And 20 years later, I met Frank Baumann, who had a great career for Germany. He's now the head of sport at Werder Bremen. And we were together on a football show. And he just looked at me and he said, "Who should start?" And then we hugged each other. And then we made jokes about that day in 1999, 29th of May, 1999. I should probably have a tattoo though, shouldn't I, Marcus? Because it's been so important for my career.
At the age of, yeah. I mean, it's never too late to get your first tattoo, Dad. So
yeah, sure, I should. Next time we go, I'm gonna think of that. 29.05.99. I should have that number.
Along with the birth dates of your children, surely.
Yes, I could do that. And as my friend Derek White said at Middlesbrough, he had the birth numbers of his his wife. And I know, sorry about his kids. And then I asked him, what about your wife? And he said, I can't risk that. And some years later, he was divorced. So I think that I will stick to the dates of Eintracht Frankfurt. And maybe, Marcus, this could be the open thing. Maybe I should put in 1994, being at the World Cup with Norway. Yeah, but it's got to be a lot of numbers.
Yeah. Say 1994. You pretended like it's the World Cup. It's for me. I know.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, exactly. Now, perfect, Dad. We look forward to analyzing the next round, and then we'll also look back on the Champions League games that the different Bundesliga teams have been in. Could be a rather fruitful return for the Bundesliga teams in the Champions League if Dortmund hold on to their advantage, as do Bayern and Leipzig. All cards open, and with Eintracht, we hope for not a miracle, but a fantastic result if they could win that. Dad, thanks a lot, and then we will see each other for next episode.
Auf Wiedersehen.